Well, we confess readily our need of the Lord this morning. I know we've said it plenty of times, but we totally depend upon the Lord to help us. I'm still thinking this morning, I feel like the Lord inspired me this way again. We have started a number of Sundays in 1 Corinthians 3 and 10. We've been speaking about our building, that Christ has laid the foundation, and He is the foundation, and we build our life on Him. And it says here in 10, it says, "But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." And so this morning I just feel like the Lord's give us a few more thoughts about building on that foundation and building something into our lives that we are a building of God. The Lord, we want Him to build our building. We want Him to build our life. We want Him to build our spiritual life. We want our life to reflect His workmanship. That when He looks upon our life or other people, that they see not self and not the work of our own hands, but the work of the Lord reflected in our hearts and in our lives. I want to read this scripture. It just seemed like I was impressed with this in 1 Chronicles 28. David was passing off the scene, and he spoke to Solomon, 1 Chronicles 28 and 9, and he said, "Now therefore, and thou Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." I just want to ask us to consider the words that we hear this morning. This is what David was passing off the scene, and he knew in order for Solomon's life and his reign to be successful, he had a few little things he wanted to tell him before he passed off. And he told him here, "Solomon, my son, know thou the God of my father." Get to know Him. "And serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." He knew if Solomon would do that, everything else would come into place. "For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." And those are the words I want us to remember as we begin this morning. Be strong in the Lord and do it. Do the things and put into our spiritual house and into our life and into our character and into our homes. Be strong and put those things into it that will make it endure, and that will make us have something that God Himself can smile upon, and He can put His approval, and He can come down as He did in the garden there with Adam and visit with us. And He doesn't have to say, "I can't. I can't go down there. I can't live in that place. I can't dwell with them. I can't speak to them like I want to. I'll convict them, but I won't come down and speak to them because it's unclean." God wants us to build a building. Be strong and do it. Be strong and let God work His work in our lives and in our hearts this morning. I want to add a little bit to what we've already studied about the building of God. And I was thinking this morning, the things that I feel like the Lord has impressed on our heart is establish a life of prayer and trust and dependency on the Lord. You know, that is a mixture. That is a combination that is valuable to us. If we will establish in our lives, establish. I'm not thinking about I'm going to do better next week. I'm thinking about establishing in our life a life of prayer and dependency and trust on the Lord. When we get in trouble, that our heart automatically just starts welling up to the Lord in prayer and trust in Him and dependency. Lord, I need You. You know God loves that? You know why He loves that? Because He wants to have that kind of relationship with us. He made us dependent. And man fills his dependency with his own manufacturing. He fills his needs, he tries to, with what he can do. But the Lord loves to speak to us. He loves to come close to us. And I will tell you, when someone is dependent on you, you're going to get a lot closer to them than someone that really don't hardly need you. Just now, I want to have a relationship with you, that's all. You know, this morning, I want us to just think about this thought of establishing in our life a life of prayer and dependency on the Lord and trusting in the Lord. I believe what we will find automatically, not something that has to be manufactured, we will find a life of God in that. We will find a life that is wrought with blessings in that. It cannot be other than that. And I believe if we will fill our life with that and allow Him that place in our hearts, the Lord Himself wants to come into our house, our spiritual house, our building that He is wanting to build. And how can He build it if we don't allow Him to? He makes us independent places and then He fills our need. He makes us to call out to Him for wisdom and then He gives us wisdom. He makes us to call out for Him, Lord, I'm in trouble. I'm in pain even. Lord, I need help. I want to tell you something. You want something that will establish your faith and strengthen and settle us? Trust the Lord a little bit and watch Him work. And you'll be surprised at the grace and the strength that God will give in life. I want to just start a little bit here and maybe come back to it in a few minutes about prayer. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1, 1 Timothy 2 and 1, it says here, I exhort, therefore, Paul speaking, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You know, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, these words aren't all that different from one another. But they are a little bit different. And Paul exhorts us here that supplications, and I don't know if that word is as clearly pronounced in the Greek as it is in the English there, because supplicate means considerably different in the English. But, you know, the Lord wants us to come before Him with earnest entreaties. The Lord wants us to come before Him with intercessions for other people, with requests that we need. And it says giving of thanks. You know, this needs to be a cornerstone of our life. This needs to be a part of we want the Lord to dwell in our building. We want Him to bless. We invite Him and entreat Him to make these things part of our building. As we go through life, if we don't watch out, we'll be 50, 60, 70 years old and still be struggling to have a pattern, an established pattern, an established that I lead to the Lord. I lean on Him. I trust in Him. I pray to Him continually. You know, if we're not careful, we'll always be wanting. And the Lord tells us, I think about what David told his son, now be strong and do it. And how do we do things like that? Because we make it our first priority. And that is the only way. We make this our first priority. I'm going to seek God. And I'm going to seek Him first. I'm going to seek Him at the expense of everything else in my life. I'm going to seek Him. That I'm going to do. We set that in our hearts. That it will be so in our life. And you know, when we do that, then it comes to the top. and then we make sure that happens. You know, I was thinking about in our home, those that know us ought to know that Mom prays. She's a woman of prayer. Dad is a man of prayer. That ought to be so in our life. We ought to know in our own heart that we pray and that we seek the Lord. Otherwise, we stand on our own strength. And this life of dependency and this life of trust and a life of prayer just goes together. I want to look a little bit at the trust factor, if you want to call it that. Ephesians 2 and 14, it says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." You know, it's talking about Christ there. And Paul says he is our peace. And I know this was talking about that breaking down a wall between the Gentiles and the Jews. But you know, the Lord wants to be our peace. This world will unravel us. It will. But the Lord wants to be our peace. The Lord himself wants to be our peace. Not because anything changes, but because we come to that place of prayer. And we come to that place of trusting in the Lord. Lord, I need you. I feel unraveled. I don't know what I'm going to do. It just, you know, your flesh just wants to say, I can't do this. I need to run. But you know what the Lord wants to do? He just wants to renew your strength. And you know, when you begin to experience that, things change. And instead of it becoming, oh, I must spend time, instead of it becoming that this has to be first priority, it's like, this is going to be first priority. I can't afford for it not to be. This is too much of a blessing in my life not to let it be. And it becomes that way. And that's natural. So this morning, I just want to challenge us that the Lord becomes that we trust in. When we run out of answers, the Lord, you know what he really wants us to do? I know we should counsel with one another. In the multitude of counsel, there is safety. The Bible says that, and I believe in it. But, you know, I think first and foremost, we've got to go to the Lord. Lord, I need your help. I need your strength today. I need you to help me to know what to do. Lord, I feel down today. I just feel, you know what happened yesterday. And I just don't feel like going on. You know what the Lord wants to do? He wants to completely renew that strength that you have. He wants to completely renew our vigor. Not because anything happened. Just because you cannot come into the presence of the Lord without feeling of his fire and his love and his burning. We our love runs low. Our strength runs low. You know what we need? We just need to get into the presence of the Lord. Make it a pattern of our life. When I need something, I go to the Lord. I get quiet. I get away from all the other things. I make it more important than the other things. And I'm going to find him. And I need his answers. And I believe when we do that, there's a blessing that cannot be obtained any other way. And it doesn't depend on us. And that takes the weight off of us and puts it on the Lord. Yesterday we might have been weighted down. Today, the Lord has found my help again. In Jeremiah 17, I want to read some scriptures here that bring out a little bit of truth about trust. Jeremiah 17 and 5, it says, "Thus saith the Lord." Well, I'll start at 7. I'm going to come back to that. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." If you don't know that in your heart, take the scripture home and meditate on it and ask God to reveal it to you, to your heart. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is the man. Happy, blessed, strengthened is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters." This is not something that I'm saying. I'm reading this. "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Because this is a spiritual promise for us. He says here, her leaf shall be green. It won't see when the heat cometh. Well, what do you mean? I feel the heat. You know why? Because you get another drink. And it's always there. And it says here, shall not be careful in the year of drought. In the year when everybody runs out of water and fails and cannot move on. I want to tell you something. It says, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That's the blessing and the privilege of trusting in the Lord. When we put our trust in the Lord, He renews our strength. He gives us new vigor. He gives us what we need when we truly trust in Him. And this morning, we can pick up, the world has picked up a very shallow profession of knowing Jesus Christ. It's a word that they say, but not an experience many times. And you know, that can be so in us, or this can be so. Our life can be blessed by trusting in the Lord with our heart. The combination here of mix between the prayer and the trust and the dependency on the Lord. You know what happens when you depend on the Lord? Blessed is that man. And then you know what happens there? Our faith is strengthened. And those things that we always wanted in our spiritual life begin to develop and grow. Because we give ourselves to the Lord. We're dependent on Him. We're not just telling Him, Lord, on my way out of here, I need Your help. Lord, if You don't help me, I'm not going to be helped. I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. The Lord knows that. And you know what He loves to do? He loves to come down and help us. And He will. And then a life of faith begins to develop that strengthens us. And then your life, you're going to be like a tree, it says, planted by the waters. A little wind isn't going to blow that over. A little storm isn't going to take it down. Because there's going to be a root system there. If it bows the top over to the ground, those roots will keep on drinking. And it'll keep on, it'll actually open up the earth a little and let more of that water in. But it says here in verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. How could that be? But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. You know, when we take our own way, we short-circuit everything God wants to do for us. He wants to take us to heaven. The Lord wants us to get there. Sometimes He'll even put affliction on us. And it doesn't mean it's always that way. I don't mean to say that. The Lord knows what we need. He allows everything into our lives. The Lord works with us like a piece of, our hand works with our arm. It just works together. The Lord works with us. He knows what we need. And you know, the Lord begins to call to us. He begins to help us. And I believe that when we trust Him, we get the blessing. And when we don't, we miss something very special. And I believe there's times even that the Lord will have great displeasure in us. And so I just want to encourage us this morning. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Him. When hard things come our way, trust in Him. Set your face to Him. Instead of trying to figure it all out in our own mind, set aside our mind for a bit and go to our closet. Begin to call out upon God. Lord, I want Your mind and not mine. I know this looks this way to me. Looks like this is what I need to do. This is what I need to say. This is how I need to handle this situation. You know what? Get alone with the Lord a while and establish a pattern in our home. And I will tell you, I believe that what we will find is a strength and a blessing that cannot and will not be there any other way. Because the things of this world are just heath in the desert. The things of this world are very shallow compared to the things that God wants to give us this morning. I was just thinking about the defense for our home that we build when we trust in the Lord. The defense that we build from the devil, against the devil. You know, sometimes I think, as I said, we get wore down. But the Lord wants to be our strength. And He can make new again, and will. And we want to trust in that. You know, in 2 Corinthians 1 and 3 to 5, Paul talks there a little bit. He says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." You know, the Lord wants to be our comfort in our tribulation. He does. He wants to be our comfort. He wants us to be able to go, and I'm sure many of us here have felt the comfort of the Lord. There isn't anything in this life like that. Because someone told me one time and testified to how they had a hurt in their life so bad. And the Lord, they went to the Lord, and they continually went to the Lord. And you know, the Lord just, they said it just felt like He pulled something out of their heart. And that changed. That hurt wasn't there anymore. You know, hearts can be healed. If we have a hurting heart, God, that makes all things new again, wants to make us new again too. He wants to pull out that would destroy us. That's the God we serve. Did you know that's what He wants to do for us? He wants to pull that out, and He wants to fill it with Himself. And I believe when we have that, we'll be new again. But the apostle here, he said, "God, blessed be God, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble." You know, you don't have to know everything to be able to comfort someone. But you have to know where the comfort comes from. And you have to be able to have experienced that yourself. In Philippians 4 and 6 to 7, I know we're all pretty familiar with these verses. But it says here, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, this morning, here Paul again is telling us about prayer. But in the next scripture following, his writing follows that by saying, first he says, "Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, earnest entreaties before the Lord." Prayer, bringing it to God. Supplication, earnest entreaty. "In everything, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, that's a reality. That God wants to give us is a reality. My challenge this morning, I believe from the Lord, is build prayer and supplication and entreaties and thanksgiving and intercessions for others. Build that into our life. If we're not where we need to be in those ways, I believe the Lord's calling us to that. To build that into our life, to make that part of who we are, part of our character, part of our building. It will be a safety net for us in so many ways. It will keep us from getting so down under things that it swamps us. Because I believe this, you cannot come into the presence of God. You cannot come into the presence of God except the light and the blessing of God illuminates that. The Lord will do that. He comforts, He strengthens, He gives us direction. And so as we develop our prayer life and build this and make it a priority into our life, I believe it'll keep us in the hard time. And when the rain stops falling and something happens and our world turns upside down and everybody loses faith, I want to tell you, the man or the woman that it has this kind of thing in their life, they can keep going. They can keep solid in the things of the Lord. You know, when we may be tempted to enjoy a little too much of this life, I'm going to tell you what this kind of thing will do. It will help us. We come into the presence of the Lord. I will tell you what it'll do. It'll help us to not do that. It'll help us to not glory in something we shouldn't glory in. The Bible says, "Then let not the rich man glory in his riches, or the strong man in his strength, or the wise man in his wisdom." You know, when we come into the presence of the Lord and we make that regular, that's part of our life. You know, when we are getting a little too much into some of those areas, the Lord will bring us back, because we can't come in His presence otherwise. And we need Him, and when we are dependent upon Him, I hope this is what I'm saying is coming across. When we are dependent on Him and we come to Him, "Lord, I need Your presence now. I need Your help. I need Your strength for another day." He'll start working with us in our heart, because no flesh is going to glory in His presence. It's a safety net. It's something that God wants to give us. It's a gift from the Lord that we can come into the presence of the Lord. It's a place God wants to bestow upon us His strength and His blessing and His mercies and His compassions every day. And if we go in our own strength, we fail. In no time we fail. I don't have any confidence that in my own strength I could last any time. But I have a lot of confidence in the Lord. If I can stay with Him, I believe I can make it. If I can stay with the Lord, I don't care what comes my way. I don't fear it in a way that it destroys me. I do look at things and I know some things may come upon us. And I know that's fearful in a way. But I believe this. I know the One that has all that in His hand. And I believe we can rest in that. We can go right on and be happy, knowing it's coming our way. And knowing that those things, because we know Him. So, David, his strength was not in the Lord. He knew God. And he told Solomon, his son, to know Him. He exhorted him. "Now, my son, know Him. Build this into your life. Make sure it's there. Don't put it off for another day. Not another day. Don't put it off for another time. Determine today, I'm going to have that kind of life. I'm going to know the Lord in my life. And everything else is going to expense at that. Because I'm going to know Him." And I believe if we seek for it like that, I believe what we will find is, we'll find treasures, hid treasures we never even dreamed was there in the Lord. Doesn't mean we won't have plenty of things come our way, but we'll know the One that can take us through those things. All right. In Hebrews 4:14 is another scripture that I love, because this is the God that we know. Hebrews 4:14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." You don't have to lay your profession down. You don't even have to consider it. "Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest." This is why we can hold fast. "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, this kind of thing is why that we can with confidence tell everybody that we know. It's not science. It's not rocket science. It's just getting humble enough before God, taking His way. And it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. I heard a message one time that said, when we need grace the most is when we feel the least like being bold. You know, that's true. But the scripture says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So why should we starve to death in the things of God? Why should we be weak and sickly in the things of the Lord when He has plainly told us, come boldly. Build it into your life. I come boldly to the Lord all the time. All the time. Every day. I get in trouble all the time. I don't know what to do. Lots of times. You know what you learn to do? Just come boldly. Lord, here I am again. I need your help again. And I know you want me to come here. I need you. I want you in my life. I want to know you're walking with me. And you know, if we seek the Lord like that, the blessing and the protection that comes upon our life cannot be had any other way. As we said a while ago, it is the way that we are protected from the enemy. Because when we come into the presence of the Lord, when we come to Him and we seek Him and we come close to Him, we have to discard those things. The Lord deals with us. No flesh is going to glory in His presence. Our fleshly things are not going to stand in His presence. They have to go. And so when we come to the Lord, we can just well not try to come if we're going to come with all of our flesh and all of our junk. We can come and give them to Him and turn it over. Lord, here it is. I realize this is a hindrance to me. You know, when we do that, then it's not like a salvation built on works where I do this, I get rid of this, I get saved, and this and this and this is my steps. This is a life where the Lord is the center. And He is our help. He is our strength. He is our mercy. He is our... He's everything to us. And we sing that song, He's everything to us. The psalmist said, blessed be the Lord, because He hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength. This was Psalm 28 and 6 to 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. That's a blessing, isn't it? That's what the psalmist said. I want to read a couple of our songs here. In 312, Sweet Hour of Prayer, listen to these words of these songs. It says, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. See, somebody knew this is what I need, and so they returned to it. In our life, sometimes if we stray from this, we need to recognize, I need you every hour, Lord, and I'm gonna return to that place. Sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear. To Him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since He bids me seek His face, believe His word, and trust His grace, I'll cast on Him my every care and wait for Thee, sweet hour of prayer. You know, this morning, we have to wrestle through some things. It says here, and since He bids me seek His face, believe His word and trust His grace, I'll cast on Him my every care. You know, there's a wrestling match sometimes with the enemy and with our own self to be able to do that. Sometimes it's things we come before the Lord. I've had the devil many times just oppose me Have you ever had the devil oppose you when you came to the Lord? Oppose you in all kinds of ways. Sometimes just with all these things that have to be done. You know, we have to stand our ground sometimes and get through that. Lord, I need you. I need you. I've got to have you. And I'm going to wade through this. Maybe the enemy will come with different things. Sometimes temptations. Sometimes just different things that the enemy will work against us to keep us from this place. Now, it's not a struggle like that every day. But what I've found is that when we press through that, and when we seek the Lord and we find His help again, there's a special place of grace and a special place of zeal and fervor that comes with that, and that endures sometimes for quite a long while. And the Lord gives that. He loves to give that. Sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting skies and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. I want to read this Psalm number 490, some of it as well. And Johnson Oatman wrote this song. And if you look at his songs, it just seems like the Spirit of God was working in that man. I love his songs. When storms of life are around me beating, when rough the path that I have trod, within my closet door retreating, I love to be alone with God. What though the storms have gathered o'er me, what though I've passed beneath the rod, God's perfect will there lies before me when I'm thus alone with God. 'Tis there I find new strength for duty as o'er the sands of time I plod. I see the King in all His beauty while resting there alone with God. And when I see the moment nearing when I shall sleep beneath the sod, when time with me is disappearing, I want to be alone with God. And the chorus says, alone with God, the world forbidden. Alone with God, O blessed retreat. Alone with God and in Him hidden to hold with Him communion sweet. You know, we don't always just feel a great feeling, but it's there that strength comes from. And many times after that, even if we didn't feel it during prayer, many times we see God's hand begin to work, and we see Him begin. You know, I just want to encourage us this morning. Battle through whatever it is, accusations. Set up your time. Lord, I'm coming to You, and I want this to be something in my life that my heart truly trusts in You, and that I walk with You, and I know it. And I believe if we will do that, I believe we'll have an intensity in our life that cannot be there any other way. You know, we read about Jesus going to the Garden of Gethsemane. And I know we've heard of that many, many times. But the Garden of Gethsemane was crucial to Jesus' battle. It was there that He received the strength to be able to fight the battle the next day. And many times, I believe, when we don't go to Gethsemane, Peter went with him, but when the Lord told him pray, he was sleeping. And when the Lord impresses us, or when the Lord is working with us, we want to follow that, because that's the secret, is following the Lord, letting Him work the way He wants to. Jesus, in Luke 6 and 12, it says, and it came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. I know we can't do that all the time, but you know, there's times that the Lord may call for that. Or the Lord may just call for a couple hours. The Lord may just call for us to get up in the night for a few hours or a couple of hours. He may call for us. We may have a battle that we're not winning like we need to. It's continuing. The giant is standing there facing us, telling us, you cannot, you cannot, you cannot. I will tell you what will make you can. Go spend some hours in earnest prayer with the Lord and do what He tells us to do. Allow His will to be done in our life. We talked about that in one of these, talking about our building, the will of God. It all works together. And when it becomes the house that we live in, then God dwells there. And I believe we'll find Him to be everything that we wanted, that He says He will be to us. And Luke, I want to read one more place in Mark 9 and 20. Mark 9 and 20. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but it says, and they brought him unto them, unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And this was a little boy that Satan, for whatever reason, was possessed into. And it was quite an ordeal. And in verse 25, Jesus said, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, verse 28, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You know, it's not always that we have to have the same level of intensity. But there are times that for us to get help for someone else even, or for ourselves, we have to pray and fast. And we have to seek the Lord with all of our heart and get in a close place with Him. You know, this morning, I want to encourage us that this could not happen, Jesus said, except by prayer and fasting. You know, sometimes we need help for our children. Sometimes we need help for our own life. And we may have to step up the level a little bit. It needs to be a part of who we are. When I have a need, I'm going to find it from the Lord. Whatever that takes, I'm going to pay the price to receive from the Lord those things that I need. I'm going to pay that price in my life. You know, if we'll do that and it just becomes a part of who we are, I will tell you, the Lord will convince you, and He'll convince those around you if possible. And, you know, I just want to challenge us this morning to lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life for those around us and pray for them and seek the Lord for them. I know we can't make people be saved. It cannot happen that way. But I will tell you, I believe we can lead them pretty close to the cross. And I just want to encourage us. The little saying says, the family that prays together stays together. Now, that's just a little saying, but I believe it has some merit. And in our home, in our life, pray together. Pray together. Break down that barrier that will not allow us to pray together. Pray together. It's important. Pray with our children. Go and spend time with them. Spend a little time with them. Let them know you care about them and pray with them and live the life before them. If we pray with them and we don't live the life, it won't come to much. But you know, if we do live the life before them and we have a relationship with them, then it'll be right. When we pray with them, it will seem right to them and to us, and it'll be a blessing. This morning, I just want to encourage us, build into our life that kind of thing. I was talking to Brother Rule Gibson here a while back, and he was telling me about a man. What was his name, Rosie? That they went to visit in Missouri, a brother. And he's... What? Well, wherever it was, this man was a man of prayer. And Rule was a little boy when all this was... when he would go with his dad to visit. But this man's prayer, so he said we would walk up in the field, and he was a farmer, and he said we would find him praying. And he said he always prayed with both hands up. He said, I guess Brother Rule must not have closed his eyes all the time. But he said all the time he was praying, he held his hands up. And, you know, I don't think we have to do that. But, you know, this man was a man of prayer. And it came to something. And so this morning, Lord bless us to just have homes that reflect the will of the Lord in them. That our heart truly trusts in the Lord and seek Him and lead a life like that. It's not a hard thing, except that it's hard on the flesh sometimes because we have to put it before other things that we would do or whatever. Anyway, pray for us this morning too.